I'm going to read to you two sections, actually two verses, two different places, in the prophecy of Isaiah. First of all, in chapter 9, verse 6, and by the way, you are going to be hearing this week after week after week during this month, during Advent. Pastor Dreyer and I have a series of sermons on the four royal titles of Jesus given to us in the 9th chapter of Isaiah. And these are probably so familiar that you just kind of pass them by. But listen as you hear the four titles. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name, the royal titles, shall be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Today we focus on the Wonderful Counselor. And so we go to another chapter of Isaiah, chapter 28, verse 29, and it says this: This also comes from the Lord of Hosts. He is wonderful in counsel and excellent in wisdom. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, may your royal titles be more than just words that we occasionally speak, but may these royal titles affect deeply every aspect of our lives. May we be focused on that Savior who came into the world, our Wonderful Counselor. Amen. Well, every once in a while, pastors will get a question like this: Can you recommend a good Christian counselor? And quite frankly, when I've been asked that question, I get a little bit confused. I said, well, I'm a Christian and I do counseling. And I said, well, okay, I'm available. And they said, no, I want a good Christian counselor. Well, many years, actually decades in pastoral hands-on ministry, and I recall so many situations of where there's difficult managing life issues or where difficulty in handling those inner thoughts and the behaviors, feeling like life is getting out of control. So I sat down a little while ago and I wrote up a little list of things that I've noticed happen in people's lives where they desperately need counsel. Well, first of all, maybe a bad marriage, sometimes followed by an even worse divorce, about an abusive spouse or boyfriend, which is depressingly common, naughty kids, rebellious teenagers. How about blended families? And I've been told that managing a blended family is like setting your hair on fire and then trying to put it out with a hammer. Well, how about managing relationships? Because you know what? You probably figured out by now that people are pretty messy. People can be difficult at times. People can be narcissistic. Well, how do you go through that? How do you manage that? How about life changes? Have you ever moved from one community to another? That's not always very easy. Fact is, typically within 6 months, you're going to be sick because the stress of it sometimes is hidden away. What about job changes, health changes? What about approaching death? What about widowhood? These are things that come on that need managing. Managing our way through, let's say, things like substance abuse in the family, and then everybody else in the family gone, kind of becoming codependent on that, whereas a family disease that's going on. What about feeling just a disconnect from life, a disconnect from other people, a disconnect inside from your own self, disconnect from God? How about just feelings seem to be getting out of control, suicidal thoughts, anger, and how do you control that? That's difficult. What about anxiety disorders, eating disorders, just everything kind of feeling like it's going to get out of control, feelings of jealousy and guilt and shame, rejection? How about being depressed and feeling worthless. Post-traumatic stress disorder, you don't have to have been deployed overseas in a battle zone to experience that. A lot of times people will experience certain stresses in their lives that are so strong that it actually rearranges some things in the front part of the brain so that our perceptions get filtered and get distorted as a result of that. And then trying to move on with life. What about thinking of yourself as a victim? Everybody else is doing well, but I'm some kind of a victim. And you realize it, but you want to get rid of that feeling, but yet at the same time, you're comfortable with it, and it gives you some attention from other people. What about the difficulty in making choices, getting almost neurotic about that? Paranoid fear of making the wrong choice, feeling paralyzed about making choices. How about things like letting go, letting God? How about just letting go and forgiving other people? You see, life can be pretty difficult at times, and we could use a good Christian counselor, but I'm going to give you some bad advice for a starter. First of all, when someone unloads all of that on you, do not respond with sarcasm, like, oh, I see you didn't have your meds today, huh? Or careful to be when you suggest, well, you should go to therapy, because what they hear is, you're crazy. I don't want to deal with you. Go pay somebody to fix you. Well, what do? Read the advice columns? Not a lot of help right there. How about checking out the horoscope? Never, ever good. A good Christian counselor, yes. But what I want to tell you about today is that there is a wonderful counselor. A wonderful counselor. And he is what it's all about today. With all these decorations, all this sense of anticipation, every light that you see burning is derivative of the one who came to be the light of the world, our wonderful counselor. In Jeremiah chapter 33, in the third verse, it tells us how to contact him. It just simply says, call to me. Call to me. That's God that's making that invitation. And Jesus, we know, is God. And what's the promise? I will answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. What a wonderful counselor is available to us. That's a title that is given to him and by the prophet Isaiah. 700 years before the event, 700 years later, this wonderful counselor, Jesus Christ, came into our world. And he brought wonderful counsel, encouraging words. And we need that wonderful counsel, his encouraging words, as we attempt to navigate through a world that's gotten broken, that's really unhealthy, that's quite confusing. It's essential. In fact, we cannot have complete wholeness apart from Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, a lot of people can try to get their way through and probably survive, but if you want to thrive, it will only come through Jesus Christ. So how do you get in contact with this wonderful counsel from God? I'm going to talk about two simple steps to be spiritually, emotionally healthy through the wonderful counselor. Step one is that we have to admit we've got a problem. Do you know you have a problem? Well, step one, always important. Let's look at what the psalmist says. This is in Psalm 32, which is the great psalm of confession by King David. And he says that, when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all the day long. When he was in denial, when he tried to sweep it under the rug, it took its toll upon him emotionally, even physically. Things went from bad to worse because he did not face up to the problem. So where did that problem originate? Well, for me, it originated on November 8th in the year 1938. You might guess, yeah, that was my birthday. Well, I came into the world after a really hard struggle. I mean, this was extremely unpleasant for me as I was emerging into the world. And the lights were too bright, and the room was way too cold. And I let everybody know I didn't like it. In the meantime, there was a woman next to me who was groaning like she had been through something, but nothing quite like what I had been through. So I'm a very self-focused, self-centered individual. I was born broken already. Do you know how many of us were born broken? Every single one of us. We have to go all the way back then to Genesis chapter 3, the fall into sin. The world got broken there. It went from the perfect world where everybody was healthy and everything was good, every relationship was perfect, and then came sickness of body, mind, and soul. We're all subject to this. We all experience the negativity of this broken world, the result of this tragic event way back then, and we experience it from our own sin, from the sin of others, and mostly it's both. Well, the damage, pretty great. We'll call it the God gap, the gap between a sinful person and a holy God. That gap, something has to fill that gap. Or you might describe it as the God-shaped hole. Everyone came into the world with a God-shaped hole. People try to fill that with all kinds of things. You know, fill it with alcohol, fill it with food, fill it with pills, fill it with entertainment. What will people do to try to fill that and to satisfy that sense? Things are not going right. I desperately need a wonderful counselor. Well, denial, sometimes, yeah. Avoidance, like the psalmist. Mm-hmm. But that can be one of our greatest enemies. The elephant is in the room, and denying it or ignoring it doesn't get the elephant out of the room. But admitting it is the first step. I am hurting. And you know, until we have healing from our hurting, you know that hurting people hurt people. So step two, after admitting that we have the problem, step two is invite God into that conversation that's going on inside of your head. Isaiah chapter 30, and I'm going to read it to you out of a paraphrase called the Living Bible, popular back when I was your age. Okay, it says, Isaiah chapter 30, "Woe to you, my rebellious children. You ask advice from everyone but me and do what I don't want you to do." Isn't that so typical of human behavior? Got the problems? Don't turn it over to the Lord. We do what he doesn't want us to do. So, how come I got so many problems in life? Well, duh, it's very obvious. So what do? We have to understand what our position is before God. You know, the condition, sin. Position is different. We have to go to the Word of God. And what does the Word of God say about us? Well, what does it say we are? I'm going to go to 1 John. In the third chapter, in the first verse, it says, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called the children of God, and so we are." If you are in Christ, what are you? You are a child of God, and that's the truth. And the sooner we accept that truth, believe that truth, confess that truth, and live that truth, the better off we are, because we become in contact with our wonderful counselor. Well, if I'm a child of God, what does that bring to me? What kind of advantages into my life? First of all, I am then forgiven. Nothing of the past is held against me. I'm cleansed. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses, not just only forgives, but clears out all that mess that is inside and takes away the guilt. I don't have to go wallowing around in guilt. I don't have to wallow in shame. And we can also counter all the common lies that the enemy just shoots at us. Lies like, "I am unlovable. No wonder I'm having trouble. Nobody loves me because I am so unlovable." Well, maybe the lie that I'm probably a failure in significant areas of my life. But I will be significant if I have money. I'll be significant if I'm the best, the most distinguished. I'll be okay if I never make a mistake. and if my children behave well, and if I am included in important circles, and then I'll be secure. I'll be secure if I have a mate that loves me and respects me. I will be okay if no one ever criticizes me and everybody accepts me and approves of everything that I do. And then, and if I experience financial success, I will be significant. But God says the opposite. My security, my value, my worth, my identity depends totally on Him. And what does His word say? If I am in Christ, I am a child of God and nothing less than that. Paul writes this to the Romans, his chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's yours. Just claim it. Profess it. Acknowledge it. It is available to every child of God. What is a child of God? One who has faith in, believes in, trusts in Jesus Christ. You're a child of God. You have peace with God. And that stills the voice of condemnation. In Romans 8, 1, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Peace with God, no longer any condemnation. And all of that comes out of God. That's a supernatural source. In fact, as you need more than a good Christian counselor, we need ultimately the wonderful counselor, and he gives us peace. Peace that actually can come even before we figure it out. The peace that passes understanding. The peace comes first. The understanding may or may not come. Who cares? You got the peace. That's good enough. And so we can make these positive affirmations about our lives and about our condition. And that is, we no longer have to conform to the world, to the way the world thinks, the way the world speaks to us. But we can renew our minds, the Apostle Paul writes, renewing our minds to conform to God's truth. What God says, believe it, tuck it inside of your heart, live it out. But we need to keep on putting that word inside of us, inside of us, inside of us, inside of us, so that it can work in us and flow out through us, God's truth. And so, as a consequence, I don't have to think as the world does. I can think differently. Wow, what a revelation. I don't have to think the way my stinking thinking often goes. And how about that? I can be happy and I can be optimistic about the future, my prospect of life. And I can now counter all those fears that want to take place in my life. I can tolerate criticism because I know who I really am. I don't have to live in insecurity and a sense of failure because I know my true identity and I know through Christ what my true destiny is going to be. My present experience, then, is not a disaster. My past is forgiven. My present is under His control. The future, also, He's got that planned out for me as well. And if things get worse in life, my faith can grow stronger, and I will not be impatient as I wait for these things to happen, for God's promises to be fulfilled. Isaiah chapter 40 says that those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So I can wait for the Lord and for His good and His gracious will to work its way out in my life because it is always ultimately for my good. In the meantime, He gives me every resource that I will need. And thus I can overcome every fear of the future because He has overcome the future. He has put it under His hands in His care. And He just simply says, be still and know that I am God. You know, negative emotions, yes, they're always handy. They always want to get away. They always want to find a way into our thoughts, into our lives. Negativity, yes, it's always out there. It's the result of the fall into sin. It's there. But Jesus came to turn all of that around. And so, by His stripes, you are healed. We are healed. by his stripes. We're forgiven. We're made new. We're under his care. Wow, what a great gift. So when we allow him to be our wonderful counselor, we can be empowered by him through the Holy Spirit and renounce the power of every dark thought, every dark and evil spirit, and take authority over them. And we have the victory through our wonderful counselor. Let us pray. Lord, you have called us to be your own, to belong to you, to be designated with a new identity, to be your children. And Lord, you give us wisdom in your word. Help us daily to understand what our position is before you as your children. Lord, you came to help us even when we feel helpless. For it is in your precious name that we do pray. Amen.